Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin this new year with the prophet Isaiah. He says something really odd in that first sentence of our reading for today. The title is "The Word That Isaiah, Son of Amoz, Saw Concerning Judah and Jerusalem." We don't talk that way, really, do we? Would you expect him to say, "This is the word of the Lord that Isaiah saw"? What would you expect him to say? Heard. We hear words, right? Especially if it's prophetic words. God is speaking. We think and we expect Isaiah to hear God's word. So as a way to kind of reinforce that sense of hearing and seeing God's word present, each week we'll have some interesting little thing up here in the middle for you to concentrate on. And it may not look like it, but this is, in fact, an exact scale replica of the Mount of Zion. Hours or possibly minutes to make. Well, what Isaiah saw in the word of the Lord was this mountain of the Lord's house, this highest place that will rise above the hills. This is the word of God. This is the vision of God, that in the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established in the highest of all mountains. And it's a really wonderful vision. I mean, as a pastor, I just thought, wow, if church was like this, all the nations shall stream to it. Wouldn't that be cool? And people shall come and they will say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord," all of the nations. Everyone will come and the nations shall stream to it. Everyone will say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that God might teach us God's way and that we might walk in God's path." It's a vision in Isaiah that people will truly yearn to be with God. People will yearn to be taught God's ways. They will seek to walk in God's path. And then once you get there, God will judge and God will arbitrate. And the result of that arbitration for the many peoples who have gathered and streamed to the mountain of the Lord is that they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up the sword again or learn war anymore. Wow. And then he finishes this wonderful oracle, this tremendous symbol, this fabulous visual, by calling the people to come and walk in the light of the Lord. That is the word that Isaiah saw. It's a powerful vision even for us today. Come, let us walk in the light. The mountain becomes the principal symbol for where we're to go. Mountains, why a mountain? Well, it's cool. Mountains are generally very strong. This is a Lutheran mountain. Mountains are strong. They usually precede us, right? You know, they're already there when we get there. They're rooted deep and they don't move. And you can see the sweeping view of all of God's creation. And if you've ever been up in the Rockies during storm season or pretty much any evening, lightning comes down and just strikes at random times. And it's as if God is there in the midst of all of it. It is all of this power. The mountain is the central symbol. It reminds me the first time I went across the Dakotas, and you know how Devil's Tower rises up out of the middle of nowhere? It's spooky. and you think something important must happen there. The same way for the mountain of the Lord. But the problem with the mountain of the Lord is that it becomes a religious destination. Wouldn't it be cool if, like, twice a year or once a year, we could just go to the mountain of the Lord and set our offerings on the mountain of the Lord, get all of the religious stuff done for the year, and then you'd have every Sunday morning free? Be great. In a way, that's what it can become when we look to the mountain and we locate God there, when that becomes the focal symbol and sense, and when we are too literal with it, then we know where God is safely kept. And we can be safe from God. But it's cool because you always know where the mountain is. Now, for those of you who've been here for years, it probably won't make any difference. But when I first moved here, I had a lot of trouble with directions. Because I'd lived 17 years in the Midwest, in Kansas. And whether you know it or not, Kansas is laid out on a grid. The whole state is a giant grid. And things run north and south and east and west. And so I was used to people saying, well, just go 2 miles north, you know, on the old highway. And when you get past, you know, Farmer Joe's place, which hadn't been Farmer Joe's place for a generation, get past Farmer Joe's place and the old tree, then go west 2 miles and then a mile north and it'll be on the west side of the road. So I came here to Hawaii and found out that, in fact, God had been sleeping when God created the islands, because for some very strange reason, God did not manage to lay the islands out north and south. How do you know where you are? So I would say, well, is that north of here? Well, and it's even worse, because for me anyway, north is the wrong direction here. I sit on my boat in the harbor and my compass sits right in front of me. And it points north. And I keep saying, that is not north, O great and wise compass. It points right at, almost directly at, the Prince Hotels. And that cannot be north, because north is over there. Right? So Uncle Jimmy, not long after we got here, said, oh, Pasta. No. You got to find the mountain. If you can find the mountain, you can know your way around. Mauka Makai. He made it sound so simple, right? Diamond Head and Eva. Unless, of course, you're already past Diamond Head, in which case it's Cocoa Head. It's all so simple, except for one thing. I could never remember which was Mauka and which was Makai. So there's a real advantage to having kind of a central symbol that you can point to and say, aha, there is the house of the Lord. I don't have to know north or south. I just need to know where the mountain is. But God doesn't stop at that. We get our direction in a new and even more confusing way, because God comes down from the mountain. In a totally strange and unexpected way, God comes in the form of a child to be with us in a new way. This child we call Jesus. God comes to us as a child in a manger, a rabbi teaching, a friend who heals, and a man on a cross. No longer is God safely on the mountain, but God now suddenly is Emmanuel, God with us. But there's a danger there too. In the same way that the mountain can be made our religious destination, so can the cross and Jesus. In a way, if we're not careful, then Jesus becomes the new religious destination. It's interesting, there is actually religious theme parks now. If you go into Tennessee, you can go and see all of the major stories and go on a roller coaster on the same time. Kids, close your ears. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a roller coaster in church? Right? But that's the danger. Then Jesus and the cross become the new sort of mountain. In a way, Paul, believe it or not, actually, I think, has it right. Neither the mountain of the Lord or Jesus are the new religious destination, but in God becoming Emmanuel, we are called to literally put on Christ like a garment. That's what Emmanuel, God with us, I think means at its deepest meaning. That God has chosen to be with us not only on the mountain and in the Christ and in the manger and in Advent, but in every facet and fiber and molecule of our being. I think when Isaiah has this vision of God's coming to be with us, and suddenly everything gets changed, and our precious swords, this is Iron Age 2. You know, you can go down to the swap meet and buy all the swords you want to, but in the Iron Age, there wasn't like piles of cars laying around. Iron and metal was precious and rare. So imagine the prophet saying, hey, that sword that you value and that protects you and that keeps you powerful, beat it into a plowshare. That spear point that you spent hours forging so that you could kill others into a pruning hook. It's a powerful vision. Everything changes because God has come among us. And in the same way, when we put on Christ, something incredible happens for us as well. That's what Isaiah means when he says, come and walk in the light. And it's that imagery that maybe serves us best as we begin this Advent season. That this God Emmanuel, who comes to us down from the mountain and dwells with us and calls us to this new beginning, who is with us and among us, calls us to put on Christ, that Christ of peace, that Christ of love. Not as a new religious theme park, but as a new theme for life. Well, here's our symbol, the mountain of the Lord, and it's not a bad one. It helps direct us and focus us. It helps us remember this God who created all things. But even more, remember that God comes down and dwells in the midst of us and calls us to be people of light, coming for the world. So good Advent, you people of God, and may you put on Christ like your clothes and wear Christ into the very fiber of your being, now and evermore. Amen.